everybody, and welcome to episode 113 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who was also involved in an entanglement with August Alsina, Brian. Brian, how are you doing this week, birthday boy? Oh, for those of you on video, you're getting to see something very sharp. For those of you not on video, you're just going to have to take our word for it. The new Ron and Brian podcast masks are in. Brian is sporting one right now. Brian, how does that feel?
I'm going to tell you something. This is amazing because I'm podcasting while being safe.
It looks comfortable. I'm not going to say how comfortable, but it looks pretty damn comfortable to me.
It is a nice soft material. It's not mealy. It's the kind of material that you would wrap your baby in.
Nice. So it's like a swaddle almost. You're swaddling your face.
Emotionally, I feel safe, and physically, I feel comfortable. But first, I'm going to take this off because I feel claustrophobic wearing masks.
Well, we will have that up on the web store shortly at ronandbrianpodcast.com. And just so we can let you know right off the bat, obviously, if you want to become a patron, visit ronandbrianpodcast.com as well. For those of you that catch us on the YouTube with our video, you'll see our new video setup. Again, audio folks, we love your downloads, but check us out on YouTube from time to time with this new setup. And should we let them in on the little secret, Brian?
Sure.
That we will be going live next week. Thursday at 8 o'clock, the main podcast will be broadcast live on our YouTube channel and also on our Twitch channel. That's right. We're just as cool as those gamers. We're on the Twitch. So mark that down in your calendar. But again, if you miss us live, you will still be able to download our episodes on all of your podcast platforms. And of course, catch the audio later on the YouTube channel. Brian, are you excited about going live next week? It's been a while since we've done a live show.
We did it once or twice. We did it once. We did the famous 2018 election night coverage. We got dressed up. I wore suits. You wore, if I'm not correct, you wore a thong underwear.
Of course. Yep.
And a ball gag. It really made podcasting quite difficult when the only thing that I heard on your end was but it's really, you know, it's been 2 years that we've been doing this. We're on episode 113, and it is about time that we show the world we are ready for the big time. So not only have we stepped up, I mean, first off, let's acknowledge the beautiful graphics that we've got going on right here. Not only do we have that amazing banner, we're also higher resolution video. So if you are blowing this up on a large screen TV, I know a lot of our YouTube followers do not watch this on a phone. They like to the big 80-inch flat screen. You're going to really see a lot of the nuances in terms of the amount of gray hairs that I have growing and how few actual brown hairs I have remaining. But one of the things I do want to let you know is that a lot of this advancements that we are enjoying and we're providing you, a lot of it's because of our Patreon. It is because that we have some very dedicated listeners who have sat there and said that they are willing to put some money up on a monthly basis to help make this podcast better. You're looking at right now the effect of that.
That's
This is we're not pocketing any of this cash. We are putting it back into the podcast. We're going to go live next week. Who knows what is going to happen afterwards?
All right. Well, let's celebrate. Let's get things rolling this week with our drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the week. Drink of the
Brian,
week.
Brian, you seem even week. More drink excited about drink of the week this week than normal. Oh, you're teasing me here. Once again, going with the Broken Goblet Lager King, it looks like.
And that is exactly why I'm so excited, because I know that you have absolutely none in your fridge. Why? Because I was recently in your house and I made sure that there is no Lager King in your refrigerator. So I can say that I am currently about to take a sip of what we have defined as the beer of the summer, coming from Broken Goblet Brewing of Pennsylvania. This is what we like to call just a great fucking beer.
It is. I'm a little disappointed that they are not, they did a canning run again the other week. Doesn't seem to have canned the Lager King. So a little bit of a bummer, but hopefully we'll get to have that again sometime in the future.
Well, it's a real shame, specifically because I only have 7 left after this one.
So you're really you're taking it easy. I have to admire your restraint.
I will, and this is just because I do believe in total transparency. I was hitting the alcohol on a nightly basis for a while there, and it got to the point where I was not waking up feeling good. Hmm. So I sat there and said, "I'm going to reel it back in." I mean, I have a great history with alcohol. It's never, you know, caused any damage in my life, you know, sure, through loved ones or marriages or anything like that. So it's nice, you know, that I've got a healthy relationship with it. I don't have a history of over indulging, blacking out, embarrassing myself, having to apologize to people the next morning or wonder how I got home or why my knuckles are bleeding. So I thought that it was time for me to roll it back a little. Now I'm pretty much having a couple drinks, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, in New York City would that be considered moderately drinking.
So this week I dug into the beer fridge, figured I'd get a big bottle out. This is from the Rare Barrel Brewery in Berkeley, California. They apparently specialize in sour beers. This is a little something they call Bay Breeze. Bay being BAE. It's a golden sour beer with pineapple, cranberry, grapefruit, and lime zest, which they then aged in oak barrels. So it's got a nice hue to it right there. So,
oh, that is a lovely color.
Lovely color. So let me see how this drinks.
That reminds me of the time I had renal failure. And
it's got a lot of flavor. You really get the oak and you get the citrus. Very refreshing. You know, even at a high alcohol content, I think this clocks in at like 7.5%.
Oh, I want you to understand that when I hear you're drinking a high alcohol beer, it puts a smile on my face for one key reason. And that is because I know we are going to have a great Ron and Brian After Dark after this episode.
Very true. Very true. Now, you also you said you had some important information about the podcast prior that you didn't want to tell me before. You wanted to surprise me on the air. So please tell me what that is that you have.
I'm very excited about this announcement. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We've been doing this for 113 episodes.
Correct.
I think that it is safe to say that you have been carrying most of the weight of this show.
Percentage.
I know you would say 51%, but I think it's a little bit more than that. You do all the technical work. You are the person that makes sure that the sound is great, the video is great, that it's uploaded to all of the different podcast locations. You do a lot of the research. You bring the facts to the table. So I sat there and I thought to myself, what can I offer? What do I have that will enable you to sit there and say, I have a partner?
That says Brian's contributing in a 49% yeah. fashion.
So a couple of weeks ago, I started reaching out to some American companies and asking if any wanted to go into business and partner with us to be sponsors. So I am pleased to announce that we have a 25 episode sponsorship agreement signed this past week with a major American company.
Well, don't keep me in suspense. Who will be our sponsor for the next 25 episodes?
Well, Ron, as a podcast about enriching the American experience while adding spice to our listeners' lives, The Ron and Bride podcast are pleased to announce we have partnered with a great Latino American company that has provided amazing goods for Americans since 1936.
Very diverse.
The premier source for authentic Latino cuisine, Goya Foods, is the largest Hispanic-owned food company in the United States. The Goya story is as much about the importance of family as it is about achieving the American dream. Goya Food remains firm in its goal of being the brand.
I'm gonna cut you off for a second. Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. Goya remains firm in its goal of being the brand of choice for authentic Latin cuisine while retaining its family-oriented approach.
Goya Foods. The Goya Foods that Ivanka Trump promoted the other day, that Donald Trump promoted on his Instagram the other day, the same Goya Foods is that?
I don't spend as much time on social media as you, but use our promo code Ron and Brian to get 20% off all online purchases at Goya.com. That's Ron and Brian, and you will save 20%. Not only is it a way that our podcast is just being put on the national stage.
We're helping more than this. I'm very disappointed that you you would not run this by me. We are obviously not even supposed to be purchasing Goya Foods products, much less having people purchase them at a great 20% discount, which, all right, I will give you, is a pretty good deal. But yeah, we are canceling Goya because their CEO likes Donald Trump. And that's how things go in America these days. Unfortunately, I'm going to have you tear that up right now. Let me hear you tear up the contract right now. I don't care how much it's for. I don't care how many frijoles negro you got out of the deal. Thank you. Very disappointing.
You know, when you do something for this podcast, I support you. I lift you. I put my hand on the bottom of your buttocks and I lift you. When you say, hey, how would you like to go live? There's this podcasting. I say, yes, let's do it. And when I put some time and effort and I negotiate a revenue stream coming into the podcast, it's not fair.
I'm just saying, try to be a little bit more woke in the future.
If we were 50-50 partners, I would not let you bully me the way you just did.
Well, you know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a nice little treat. But it's not how life works sometimes. In the meantime, let's talk racism.
This week in
racism.
So only a page and a half this week, Brian. So
amazing.
Maybe that means things are getting better. But really, once you start hearing these stories, you're just going to be like, no, it's not getting any better. Yeah. So let's start off with online fashion retailer Shine, who has removed a necklace it described online as a, quote, swastika pendant necklace after a huge backlash.
What?
A spokesperson for Shine said that it wasn't a Nazi swastika, but a Buddhist swastika. But they still apologized to those who were offended. And again,
no.
Their website. This is their second apology in a week, as they previously were found to have been selling Muslim prayer rugs as decorative mats.
What the fuck? That is unwoke.
Very. Going out to Riverside, California, Tim Heil, assistant principal for the California School for the Deaf, is being investigated by the state over a photo circulating on social media in which he appears to be giving a Nazi salute. The photo is from 2006 when Heil was a member of the Kappa Gamma fraternity at Gallaudet University. Ironically enough, that chapter of Kappa Gamma was recently suspended due to anti-Semitic activities. Let's see. Oh, this, of course, made big news. Blake Neff, lead writer for Tucker Carlson Tonight, resigned after it was discovered that he had been making racist, sexist, and homophobic comments on an online forum using a pseudonym. CNN, via an anonymous tipster, discovered years of posts by Neff on the message board AutoAdmit, where he made numerous derogatory comments about women, blacks, Asians, and LGBTQ people. Good for him to be gone. And I think what Tucker is now on a trout fishing vacation, which has been long.
Taking a break. But now, would you have expected somebody that wrote for Tucker Carlson to not be a racist?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not shocked by this.
Yeah. Name.
Shocked that maybe it took that long for somebody to find out. Let's go back out to California again. This is Fresno, California. Jason Wood, president and CEO of Actionable Insights, was caught on video using racist remarks against a fellow American. Wood had been drinking at the Out of the Barrel tap room, first ignoring the staff's request to wear a mask and then becoming aggressive when bartenders cut him off. Rebecca Hernandez, one of the bartenders, videoed Wood as he told her, "Don't worry about me, Saudi Arabia." When she asked, "What did you say? I'm Saudi Arabian?" He responded, "You're fucking stupid like they are," continuing with, "I know you're not smart enough. You're a dark-haired, dumbass, sand N-word motherfucker, and that's fine." Wood later told a local news station that he has no memory of his racist comments and said, quote, "I don't have a racist bone in my body." He later
piece of shit
from his job. We can't beat up on the West Coast all the time. Let's come back east here to Toms River, New Jersey. There's a company called Motor Vehicle Assurance, which has been under investigation due to allegations of being a racist workplace, with former employees claiming that white managers used the N-word and black workers were passed over for promotions, paid less, and relegated to a separate sales floor called the Black Room or the, quote, N-word center.
No.
This week, pictures of their CEO, Daniel Rod, showed up, showing him dressed for Halloween one year as Hitler, giving a Nazi salute, and another year as him, as Donald Trump, sitting on a Mexican.
Fucking hell.
Let that marinate for a quick second.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with people?
In Sedalia, Colorado, Paul Favrette, CEO of Resource Energy, was caught on video pulling a gun on a Hispanic couple that had gotten lost in his neighborhood. When confronted by police, Favrette claimed to be on pain medication and didn't remember threatening them. However, he now faces 5 counts, 2 felony menacing counts, and 3 misdemeanors. In Ferd, Indiana, a video went viral showing a man proudly displaying a Confederate flag on the back of his pickup with a noose draped over it. The internet eventually found out his name is Colton Allen, and his social media is filled with memes and posts about his right-wing views, and this may shock you, his support of Donald Trump. He has since made all of his social media accounts private. Was pretty horrible. This was a white couple from Long Island. They were arrested for attacking a black hotel worker at the Quality Inn in Mystic, Connecticut. Philip Sarner, 39, and Emily Orbe, 29, were seen on surveillance video beating the victim, 59-year-old Crystal Caldwell. Ms. Caldwell said that they repeatedly called her a monkey while punching and kicking her. This apparently all arose over a dispute of them not having hot water in their room, which just makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
But as somebody who has experience in the hospitality industry, how would, I mean, not currently earning any additional experience because you are out of a job.
Thank you.
But as somebody with such experience, like, how would you handle a couple, a Chad and a Karen, who approach you angrily that they have no hot water?
Well, I mean, you would get engineering on that and try and fix it or move them to a room with working hot water.
Now, what would happen if you are an African-American coworker?
They would probably beat me at that point.
There you go. Okay. Just making sure that it's not the employee that did anything wrong.
Now, this next story I threw in here, one for the racism and two, I need you to tell me if my enjoying the results of this story is wrong in any way, shape, or form. So this is in Asheville, North Carolina. There was a woman there, Rachel Ruitt, who had gone viral back in June due to videos that showed her tearing off a woman's hijab and attacking a black teenager, leading to her arrest on July 4th. Well, this past week, she apparently was walking along the side of a road in Asheville, accidentally stepped into the road and was hit by a passing pickup from the local fire department, and she died of her injuries the next day.
Fucking A! That's great! That is great! Right.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the bad person here.
No, she's the bad person, and finally she got to experience karma. Did anything happen to her dog?
No information on the dog. I don't know if they had a dog or not. They usually do. I'm not sure if they did.
I would hate to think that that dog was harmed in any way. I would like to believe that that dog stood peacefully on the side of the road while the tractor trailer ran over her, turning her body into ground beef. And then the dog literally popped off the corner into the street and started eating up the owner.
I can't confirm nor deny that, but I don't recall there being any information about a dog in the story. But I did feel good about her passing, and it made me feel like maybe I'm less of a human being. But again, I feel like she wasn't bringing a lot to the earth to begin with.
Could you allow me my fantasy of the dog eating up her ground up human carcass?
I have no issue with that, my friend.
Would it be possible for some stray dogs, you know, from the neighborhood to suddenly smelling the attractive scent of blood to jump into the street and start chewing up her body as well?
The more the merrier. That's what I say.
What about a couple homeless people suddenly come over with one of those hobo shopping carts?
Before we get too much into this fantasy, let's go to our final piece here in This Week in Racism, where we're going to do a little racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
And I think it was either last week or the week before we had talked about Jillian Wustenberg and her husband, Eric. Jillian, of course, went viral because she pulled a gun on a black mother and her teenage daughter in a Chipotle parking lot. So now she is playing the victim card, that she pulled her gun because she was in fear for her life. While her attorney, Dean Greenblatt, says that she is the victim of, quote, ethnic intimidation. We've got a little clip of a interview she did for her local news station.
The mother very quickly was on me. The daughter was running from my left up to me. And within moments, a second or two, I had multiple people within 2 feet of me. And I remember thinking, I'm not going home tonight.
So you felt like you had no choice at that point, but to pull the gun?
Yeah.
That was what was in your mind?
I need to live. I need to survive.
You have how many kids?
I have four.
So you really
need the fuck does she have four kids for? Okay. Really, how many, what are the odds that one of her kid is named Caden?
I'll begin with the letter K.
Yeah. There's Kaxon, K-A-X-S-O-N.
There's gotta be a Kaxon there.
Of course. Of course. And then the,
but it's Kayla with the K-A-Y-L-E-I-G-H.
Yes. And then there's her adopted Jewish child, Kike Boy.
Really, I would not have imagined the adoption agency allowed that name. But again, you watch the video. She is really putting on the worst fake tear performance that you could even imagine.
I didn't think I was going to make it home that night.
It's what I love about this story and why I think this story has captured the imagination of America during this is that it combines two tragedies that are taking place, which is the abject racism that suburban whites feel so entitled, or it's not even suburban whites, but it's pretty much whites not on the leftist, the lefting coasts. But it also goes into the Karen dynamic of the emboldened white woman who feels that she is the arbiter of all things that are correct. That you've got this woman who somehow gets into this disagreement with a black woman in a parking lot and literally pulls out her gun. Now, if I'm going to pull my gun out in self-defense, I am going to pull my gun out and then walk away from the moment. I'm going to walk away from the person that I feel threatened by. If you remember the video of this, she pulls her gun out and then walks forward.
Well, and not only that, if you remember the video, her and her husband had gotten into their car and were going to leave and then got back out of the car and she pulled her gun.
So how the fuck can she say she's defeated if there's video of this? Why do people forget it? You know what? You know what I think she needs?
Some a Ron and Brian face mask. Yes.
She needs a Ron and Brian face mask, which can be purchased right now. Is it up for sale right now as we speak?
Not as of yet, but
damn it.
Shortly it will be available on the web store at ronandbrianpodcast.com.
Can we say by the weekend? Do you think our producer Matt Beaker can get that set up by then?
I think that is safe.
Good. So by the weekend, you will be able to go to ronandbrian.com.
No.
Click on the
Ron and Brian podcast. Because those sons of bitches, Ron Howard and Brian Glazier, own ronandbrian.com. Those fucking Hollywood fucks. Why do you gotta bring that up? Why do you gotta piss me off like that?
Motherfucker. I made an offer. I said, name the price. They didn't even respond.
And like, that's Howard, how, like, he needs the money.
No, he doesn't need the domain. He doesn't need it. So
if you go to it, they're not doing anything with it.
No, it's a placeholder. RonandBrianPodcast.com. Click on the link where it says store. You'll be taken to our web store. You'll be able to.
Is it? It's like a baby's bottom, isn't it?
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Don't put that one over your mouth now.
Now, what I'm going to say is that if people want to, I believe there's a comment section where when placing your order, you can ask for an autographed face mask. Okay. Some people are going to want to buy two. You're going to buy one that you want to use. You're going to wear this when you're out in public because it's going to help prevent you from spreading any of your COVID germs, the virus, if you're asymptomatic or if you're an asshole and don't feel well and going out in public, or it'll protect you from breathing in somebody's coronavirus droplets, which have been aerosol. Aerosolized? Is that the word? No. Sure. What am I talking here?
Aerosolized.
That's not a word. What's the word? Aerated.
Aerated?
You're going to want one of these. This will help save your life. Now, I'm not going to pull a Jim Baker.
I don't think that these will save your life. That might be a bit of an overreach as far as the mask goes.
Can I say that it will save your soul?
Yes.
Okay. It'll save your soul. But I also know that we have listeners that are going to want to put this up on a wall. They're going to frame this, maybe next to the, the pictures of their firstborn's first steps, or their college graduation photo. They're going to want to put this right up next to it. So you're going to want to buy. You can buy a second one, and maybe you want it. You want Ron's autograph here. Maybe you want Brian's autograph here. Or because I'm only a 49% owner of the podcast, maybe I'll sign at the bottom, and Ron, you would sign at the top. Is that what you would prefer?
That would make the most sense, I would think.
Excellent. Now, that woman, I literally hope goes to prison, and I'm not talking jail. I want that woman to go to prison.
All right, let's hope she does. In the meantime, we got beefs.
And Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, and I always regret handing it off to you first, but I will do it again. What is your beef this week?
Disney World.
Okay, I don't feel as bad then. Go ahead.
Why?
Well, because you've been doing these big, like, world-changing beefs, then I have something relatively minor afterwards. But I feel good with your Disneyland beef. So hit me with it.
In response to what you just said, I'm going to say that I genuinely believe that this coronavirus pandemic has changed who I am. I think that I think I see the world as a collective unit rather than a bunch of individuals going, you know, walking their very separate paths. I believe that we have, you know, and maybe it is because of the antibodies that are flowing through my blood. Maybe it's you know, it's because I have faced death and I have defeated it, where 130,000 Americans have failed. I succeeded. You know, I'm not bragging. I don't want it to come across that way. But I do feel that I look at the world in a different light, which is why I think that my beefs of the weeks have elevated in terms of a magnitude. But this week, I'm going to take it down back to your level. And my beef of the week this week is Disneyland. This past week, or Disney World, in the great state of Florida, the amusement park Disney World, with a capacity of 18 billion fucking people, decided that in the middle of a raging pandemic in the worst state in America, where right now I believe they have over 50 people who are currently have active cases out of every 1,000 people. Just so you have an idea of a comparison point, I believe New York is less than one, where Florida now is averaging 50 people per 1,000 with raging cases of coronavirus. Anyway, let me not bash Florida, but somehow the fine people at Disney decided, you know what we're going to do to show the love and respect that we have for the people who are fans of the product and services that we provide. Well, we're just going to open up a fucking amusement park and we're just going to let people interact with each other.
Is that in Florida, the place where a Floridian dies every 11 minutes from COVID right now on average?
Yep. So in light of that going on right now, why don't we open up fucking Disney World? Because people really want to put on Mickey Mouse ears, wave at Goofy, and then drop dead.
Yeah, I mean, you saw pictures of no social distancing in the lines leading up to the rides.
Oh.
A lot of reports of, you know, masks not being available, hand sanitizer running out. There was some videos circulating of these two women that were sick one day and managed to get into the park the next day. Like, there are actual, like, tutorials online now that if you're running a fever, how to, like, fake out the temperature check when you get to the park. So
what?
People are
whoa. Say that again, please.
Yeah. If you go on, if you search online, and I know YouTube has been attempting to keep them down as they get put up, but people are doing videos like, you know, have an ice pack in your pocket and just, you know, hold it up to your forehead and, you know, a certain time. And, you know, that gives you a good shot, you know, that, you know, if your temperature comes up too low, they'll blame it on, you know, the equipment, and they're not going to want to hold up the line. So they're not going to make you test and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of nonsense out there.
What is wrong with people?
People suck. I think
you're telling me that in a state with a raging, rampant spread of coronavirus, mm-hmm. people who are symptomatic,
yes.
are advertising ways to trick the system so that they can go into Disney World.
Correct. I know
that
it boggles the mind.
That's my beef of the week.
There you go.
That is my beef of the week. It's you know, when we started this conversation, it was the lack of concern that the Disney Corporation has for the people that support it, the people that are allowing it to be profitable, and now suddenly it's the actual fucking people who are prioritizing going on a fucking amusement ride when they're just, oh my God, I can't even say the sentence.
It's
my brain hurts.
I don't know why people go to Disney in general, but to go with the world
maybe,
state that it is maybe, right now.
Yeah. Maybe one day we can have somebody on the podcast to defend the pros of going to Disney World.
All right. I would be open to that. If
I don't know if we know anyone. It would be very hard for us.
I don't know. So my beef this week, and again, I mean, it's not world changing, but it is changing for me. I actually have a little beef with my Invisalign.
Really?
Yeah. We talked about it last week where I got like the spacers taken off. I got the wires put in for my, to help out my teeth stay in place. So I got my retainers today. I went back today to get my retainers. And here I'm thinking that these retainers you only have to wear at night. And they're like, oh no, now you have to wear them every day as much as possible for the next 3 months. And then you can wear them at night. And these things are like the regular Invisalign are great. Like they're thin. They fit your teeth very well. These are just like huge ass pieces of chunks of plastic in my mouth. I took them out for this podcast because it was difficult to even just talk with them in.
They go on the front and back or just the back?
They go over my top teeth and my bottom teeth, and they cover the front and back of the teeth. Like it just encapsulates the whole thing.
So you can't chew down.
You can't eat while you wear them. You can take
them. It's like wearing a mouth guard.
Exactly. And these things are so freaking tight. It's insane.
Can I offer you a silver lining?
Sure, please do.
I don't know why you're laughing because I'm actually trying to help you here.
All right, I never know if your silver linings are actually going to be silver linings or not, so you can understand my trepidation.
Okay, now I know that you have always been somewhat concerned about the way other people will see your teeth and how, you know, especially. When you started this Invisalign, I know it was a big priority on your part that people not see that you're going through this. You didn't want to get braces that they would be on. So the silver lining I'm offering you here is that because you're not working in your home, at least for the next 3 months, you can wear these retainers and your wife will be the only one knowing that you're wearing them.
I guess that's the silver lining. But look how great this smile is now.
I'm jealous. I'm genuinely jealous.
As you should be.
Because what is this? It's been about a year?
A little over a year. About probably a year and a couple months.
It looks great. I noticed it when I was down there.
Well, thank you very much. We should have made that more.
Your wife was in the way. I mean.
Yeah, she's a cock block, no doubt. Well, what are we going to talk about this week, Brian? I guess
there's really nothing going on in this country.
It's so quiet. It's so peaceful. There's no pandemics or horrible things going on. I long for that day, Brian. I long for the day where we really have to reach to find crap to talk about. But coronavirus still plugging away, getting more and more in the United States, maybe not as much across the U.S., across the world, but we are certainly still continuing to get our asses kicked here in the United States. Even in areas where it was under control, I know, you know, New York has started to slow things down. In Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf just dropped restaurant occupancy from 50 to 25%. Bars have to serve food to remain open. City of Philadelphia canceled all major events through February of next year. So it is still significantly impacting people's lives. And as we saw from your beef of the week in Disney World, there is a significant portion of the population that is not helping out at all by being careful, by being safe, by masking, by social distancing. So I don't see this getting better anytime soon. What's your?
I believe you're going to see a radical split in this country. I think you are going to see states that are maintaining low numbers because they are being careful. I think that it is inevitable for all state numbers to go up as people flee the hard hit states. I think one of the things that we as safer states have going for us is that I think that one of the reasons why these other states have such high numbers is I genuinely believe that the populace there is in denial that this is something to be concerned about. So I don't see them fleeing the state. Whereas back in early April, a lot of New Yorkers were thinking, how do I get out of New York City? Where do I go? Do I go upstate? Do I go up to Vermont, Massachusetts? Do I go down to Florida? Do I go out to Oklahoma, maybe Tulsa? I hear they have a nice arena, if only it could finally open up, or maybe a political rally. But I'm not that concerned right now that some redneck hick in Idaho is going to sit there and say, fuck it, let's go to New York and stay in Times Square because we'll be safer there. I think that's the kind of person that will sit there and use their coffee cup as a spittoon for the afternoon, saying that this is all a liberal Jew hoax while Meemaw is dying inside. So I think what you're going to be seeing is there really will be a growing disparity between states that behave and states that don't behave. I think with what you're mentioning in Pennsylvania, which is, one of the states that, one of the relatively few, states that has a good outlook on things. I think what you're seeing is the realization of the dangers of indoor activity. You know, I think one of the things that we're, from a responsible perspective, I do believe we're going to have to start accepting that having bars open is a bad idea.
Right.
You know, even in New York City, when we had the beers to go, the drinks to go, you could buy a frozen margarita outside of a bar and walk away. What that really meant was a large group of people were just taking that to mean, oh, it's like Mardi Gras. We can now just drink in the streets. We'll congregate outside of the bars and just hang out. Which is not much different than being inside of a bar.
Right.
So I would see, bars, restaurants, specifically bars, because as you know, we went through the racist of the week segment, substance abuse seemed to have been quite a common thread among some of the worst behavior. So
a little bit of drinking, a little bit of pain meds, the usual.
Yeah. So when people drink, their inhibitions lower. They start making poorer decisions, I guess. Is that a safe way to describe it?
You could go that way.
So they're less likely to practice social distancing. They're less likely to wear a mask, while around people. So it's just I could easily see bars being shuttered, restaurants being, to-go only type thing again. It feels like we're going backwards, not forwards, and it's concerning and it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys from the CDC said this week, if people just wore masks, we probably could get this under control in 4, 6, 8 weeks. But you still have people that don't want to wear masks, that don't believe masks work. I mean, just today or yesterday, Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, signed an act allowing people to ignore local ordinances about masks. So not only is he not mandating masks for his state, he is overriding the local governments that are putting mask mandates in place to try and save their populace. So, I mean, I guess he's competing with Mayor DeSantis down in Florida there to see how many of his citizens he can kill.
But what is his logic in saying that you cannot mandate people to wear a mask?
Because Donald Trump was visiting his state and Donald Trump did not wear a mask. And Brian Kemp is a bootlicker for Donald Trump.
Oh.
It's what it comes
I genuinely never thought I would live in a world where the president of this country is taking active steps that endanger the health of citizens, that is denying the deaths of thousands of Americans, tens of thousands, we've now entered hundreds of thousands, denying the validity of their deaths and acting like everything is fine. It's mind-boggling. There was a great video. I think it was it the Lincoln Project that did it, where it was an audio clip of Mike Pence talking at various stages over a timeline, and the graphic that was shown was the number of active coronavirus cases in the country. So as Mike Pence is talking about how honored he is to have President Trump leading this case, and how we're going to have a cure soon, and how the cases are going to go away, you just see the higher and higher as his head goes, as there are more people suffering from this disease.
And that was actually Republican voters against Trump did that ad. So good one to follow on Twitter. You know, we're again, you've mentioned we have this divide in America, and it really is, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, a generation from now, you know, you're going to have kids that are asking their parents, you know, what did you do during the pandemic of 2020? Did you wear a mask? Did you stay home? Yeah. Did you try and, you know, and parents are either going to have to lie or be like, hey, you know what? I needed my dollar margaritas at Applebee's. So I said, fuck the government, left my mask at home, and 43 people died. You know, what did you do when President Trump locked up kids? What did you do when President Trump decided to show off Goya beans rather than have a nationwide policy to combat the pandemic? What did you do? What did you do, Dad?
Enough with the Goya beans. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to bring money in. You said to me on multiple times how great it would be if we could have a sponsor. And they were the only people that wrote back. They said, yes, we are interested. We do believe our product is relevant to a current events podcast. We would love to, you know, you don't have to keep bringing it up. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, maybe you can go after the folks that do the Blood Diamonds. Maybe they'd like to promote a podcast.
Let me email Nigeria right now.
But yeah, I don't. And we're seeing each week we see stories of people that doubted this whole COVID thing. You know, in San Antonio, there was a person who had gone to one of those COVID parties, some 30-year-old who ends up dying and telling their nurse, like, I think I made a mistake. I thought this was a hoax, but it's not. And then we shared this thing.
What about Chuck Woolery?
Chuck Woolery posts on Twitter one day, you know, this is all a hoax of the media. And then the next day he's like, well, my son has it, so I guess maybe it's not a hoax. And then he deletes his entire Twitter account.
Like a bitch. Like a fucking bitch.
You know, and we shared on our... Go ahead, call him a bitch again.
No, he's a fucking bitch because he sat there like with his big dick pants on, talking about how this was all a fake, this is all a fraud, that, you know, the media is lying, and that it's all bullshit, and Donald Trump is great. And then somebody in his own family suddenly is stricken by this disease, and instead of having the balls to face up and say, I was wrong, and take the heat of all the people who are like, we told you were wrong, and you responded by further mocking us, this little bitch boy decides that he is just going to go off social media so he doesn't have to hear the abuse. He was fine dishing it out, but when it comes time for him to be reminded how his fucking lies endangered the welfare of his own fucking family, that's when he decides that he needs some space and some time to deal with some family issues.
Well, listen,
fuck you and your love connection. Your son will be back in 2 and 2. And when I say 2, I mean, he's going to die in 2 days and he's going to be 2 feet underground when you bury him, you little bitch. God, why am I so angry? I really am.
But I mean, again, he's a lot like these hardcore right wingers where things are not a problem unless they impact someone close to them. And now all of a sudden it's an issue.
But, I mean, these are the people that preach Christianity.
Oh, I know. You know, and it's these fake Christians out there. You know, either brother's keeper, but I'm not going to wear a piece of fabric over my face. Even if it looks as good as a Ron and Brian podcast mask. Even if it looks that good, I'm not going to wear that. But we even shared on our Facebook page this week a post that went around where, you know, it showed this guy, Richard Rose, I think his name was.
Fuck him too. Fuck him.
He posted for months, you know, memes about coronavirus being a hoax and I'm not going to wear a mask and this and that. And then in mid-June, he went to some like little resort in whatever East Bumfuck town he lives in. And then a couple weeks later, he's like, oh, I don't feel so well. And then, oh, I got the COVID. And then they're posting his obituary. Died because he didn't believe what was going on. Died because he didn't want to wear a mask. Died because he didn't want to social distance. You know what? Fuck it. I can't do another rant.
Can I just say something to you?
What?
Can I ask you something in all honesty? How many episodes like this do we have to do?
I you know what? I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of these episodes still before the end of the year.
Because we've gotten so much worse. In April, we were literally talking about how are we going to save New York? And we figured out, well, let me rephrase it. The health officials figured out how to save New York. Shut everything down, socially distance, wear a mask.
Right.
Until it's safe to start opening things up again. And when you do it very slowly. And during that period of time, the people in the fucking South and West sat there and said, we need to go to Chili's.
Well, it's a case of we're at the point of time where we felt like we were going to be coming out of this. Like back in March and April, we were like, all right, let's shut everything down for 90 days. We can start opening things back up again in July, August. You know, we can start getting better. And then by the time, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter rolls around, things will be back to normal. Right. And now look where we're at. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with schools. We don't know what's going to happen with universities. We don't know what's going to happen with sports. We don't know what's going to happen with businesses. I mean, there's so much shit going on that we just don't know about right now. And we are even worse off now than we were 90 days ago.
We're worse off than we were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education this week, decided on Sunday that she was going to back up the president's call to reopen schools this fall. So this woman decided that a great thing for her to do was to go on all of the Sunday morning news programs to push the idea of reopening schools in the fall. Not only did she do a terrible job of showing the rationale for it, but she basically had absolutely no specifics for how this will be done safely. She showed absolutely zero regard for the sense of fear that parents have that right now we can't even open up a mall, but somehow we're going to throw 30 to 35 children in a classroom.
Well, and she was on CNN, and I forget who was interviewing her, but you know, she said, well, you know, the schools just need to follow CDC guidelines. And, you know, they pointed to, I think Fairfax County as a county with a high population, a lot of kids. And, you know, they basically said, you know, for them to like, they need a space the size of the Pentagon normally for the amount of kids that they have. In order to follow the CDC guidelines, they would need five Pentagons worth of space for these kids to safely go. So then Betsy DeVos is like, well, I mean, they don't have to follow the CDC guidelines to the letter. I mean, we can have a conversation and we can see what we can do here. I can't. I got it. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk.
You know what? Can we talk about something a little bit lighter? Can we talk about sports?
Yeah. What's going on in sports?
Some amazing things. So the NFL's talking about coming back.
All right.
And I'm sure they
allow 20% of their fans in.
Which team was that?
Patriots are capping attendance at 20% in their stadium.
Who said anything about attendance?
I mean, I guess they are still.
Are you serious?
I shit you not. Listen, we can lose a few Patriots fans.
That's actually true. That's actually true. But 70, I believe it was 72 NFL players have tested positive for coronavirus this week.
And we're not even at training camp.
No, not at all. But baseball, I'm sure baseball has a great plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. What about them? So obviously the big thing this week, Washington Redskins have finally decided to lose the Redskins name after many, many years of people saying, you know, that's kind of an offensive name.
Slightly inappropriate.
Although what I'm hearing from a lot of white people on the internet this week is that they don't find Redskin offensive. So I guess maybe it's not offensive.
I was speaking to a elderly American that I have known for most of my life this past week about it. And he told me that he felt it was stupid to change the name of the Redskins. And I asked why. And he said, because that's their name. And I said, so would you be okay if it was if it was a different do you understand that that term is offensive to a group of Americans? Well, yeah, okay, I understand that. So you understand that naming a team after something that's offensive is probably it's not really the nicest thing to do. Well, yeah, but they've always been the Redskins. That's but it's that mentality. It's this is the way it was, so therefore this is the way it should always be. And if somebody says, "Well, I don't like this now," well, it's literally a complete disregard for the other person's mentality.
Right. It is. And that's also another point we're at in this country where people don't care about what other people are offended by. Even if it has no impact to them. Like, I cannot think of anything that has less impact in most people's lives than what the Washington football team is called.
Yep.
People are going to bitch about it because apparently that's a racing white culture.
But you see, I would think that the owners or the owner of that football team, Dan Snyder, I believe the merchandising upside to changing your team name would be huge.
Oh, yeah.
Because now people have to go out and buy T-shirts, banners, pendants, pencils, stickers, refrigerator magnets.
All right, because
baseball caps.
Okay, we get it.
Shot glasses.
The people who are who don't want the name to change, they will obviously buy up all of the remaining merchandise. And yeah, and those who are fans either way, will buy all of the new merchandise. And now the word is that Dan Snyder only agreed to this to have some leverage to try and get a new stadium. To be like, oh, see, we were nice and we changed the name. Now can I get, you know, public funding for a new stadium?
Because I'm sure the government in Washington, D.C. has just loads of money to start throwing around right now.
Is there anyone worse in professional sports than Dan Snyder? Like, he's yes. one of the worst human beings in an ownership role.
Can you show me an owner that is a good entity?
I will go Mark Cuban.
Okay, you know what? For that reason, I'm out.
I'll even go and I hate to say it, owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie. Good man, from what I hear.
Because when DeSean Jackson sits there and says that the Jews have always been holding down the black community, Jeffrey Lurie goes, "That's okay. We'll just let that one slide." Good guy.
I will ask you this. So I'll throw it out. I'll throw this out at you. Worst owner, Dan Snyder or James Dolan from the Knicks?
Dolan, because Dolan's not even trying to put a competitive product on the field.
Okay.
Whereas I think Snyder is actually putting together, I think he's trying to put together a team that can win. I just think that he's a terrible human being. Whereas I think James Dolan is sitting there. I like the way you paused taking a sip of that beer because you knew I was going to butcher the name and you wanted to be at the ready to correct me. I appreciate that because that's part of the dynamic that we have working for each other.
Yes.
Or I think Dolan is, I think he wants to have his name in the paper I think he is threatened by coaches that succeed. I think he's threatened by general managers that succeed. So I think he was always I think he's trying to make it so that it's about him. I thought you were going to throw out the Wilpons, the owners of the New York Mets.
Yeah.
Because that to me is also real bad.
Yeah. It's a pretty bad situation there too.
I would agree with you. But you know what makes me feel better?
What's that? Oh, a Ron and Brian face mask. It really makes everything. Now you're starting to look like who was in a Blue Velvet there?
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper. Mommy.
I wonder if that movie holds up.
I haven't
seen it in a long time.
Well, we may have to do a Ron and Brian watch party and check it out. All right, what else do we have? We just hit an hour here. What else do we have to talk about? You know what? We had the whole Wayfair child trafficking thing on the list, and it's hard to believe that kind of already ran its course in the few days since we wrote it down. But yeah, people apparently feel that you can pay $16,000 for a cabinet on Wayfair and get a child along with it.
It's really a symptom of the conspiracy minded society that we live in, where if you listen to what Wayfair says, these were industrial level cabinets. These were literally, to me, it was embarrassing to them, but I believe that these were products that they were looking to sell to the federal government, and which is why the prices were so exorbitant, that they understood that this was a way for them to make an outrageous amount of money. The fact that we live in a world where people are actively going out there looking for the conspiracies, they're out there, you know, I mean, here's a perfect conspiracy that's going on right now. What is currently the number one box office movie in America?
I only know this because I saw it in an article you shared earlier. It is The Empire Strikes Back is currently the number one movie.
Now, I'm going to say that there's a conspiracy having to do with that.
What?
Okay, the Chinese released a virus into America so that we could shut down movie theaters, so that Star Wars, which we know is owned by the Chinese, could be re-released in drive-through movie theaters so that it could be number one again.
Interesting. I mean, I like where your head's going.
Speaking of movie theaters, we lost some very important people this past week.
We did. There was definitely some big losses. We lost actress Naya Rivera, Glee TV star, and quote, fierce talent, passing away at the age of 33. Very tragic, going out boating with her son. They went swimming. She was apparently able to get him back in the boat. But then she drowned, apparently.
Did you say that she went boating or voting? Because it sounded like I thought you said voting, which sounded like you were attempting your first entree into voter suppression. We are not about voter suppression, but it sounded like you were basically saying that if you go voting with your son, you're going to die.
No, that was not quite the case.
Did Grant, I just lose another percent?
You did. Every time you reference a conspiracy theory, I'm switching a percentage of ownership. So 52% for me, 48% for you. Grant Imahara, an engineer who co-hosted Mythbusters, dying at the age of 49, I believe, from a brain aneurysm.
Did you ever watch that show?
Every now and then I would watch Mythbusters. It wasn't... wasn't one of my favorites, but never again, way too young to be passing away. Zinzi Mandela, the daughter of Nelson and Winnie Mandela, passing away at the age of 59. We also lost Elvis's grandson, Benjamin.
That one was sad.
Dying of apparent suicide, gunshot suicide. But this was a shocker because I think they had kept her her illness a secret for a long time. Kelly Preston passing away at the age of 57 from breast cancer. Actress, wife of John Travolta. Just a sad story, regardless of how you may feel about John Travolta, who is a wacko. But yeah, you hate to see someone passing away from cancer, especially at that age.
Now, if you think he's a wacko, why isn't she a wacko also?
You know, she never struck me as such. You know, John seems very out there, and she actually seemed more grounded than he did.
Don't you think that was actually just because they kept her out of the spotlight and put it on him?
It's possible. It's possible. But you got to feel for him. And also, I mean, don't forget, you know, they had lost their son, Jet, back in 2009. He had passed away at the age of 16.
And John lost all of his hair. Also, let's talk about the real tragedy.
He was smart to finally shave his head because everyone
that should have been years ago. His wigs were getting worse and worse and more ridiculous.
Yeah, I think eventually, guys, you know, we need to acknowledge. I mean, not me. I got a haircut today. Actually, I was able to go to my salon for the first time in a long time, so I feel I've got a beautiful haircut here.
May I ask what that was like?
It was a little unusual, you know, going in and a lot of plexiglass in front of the receptionist stand, in between the chairs, in between the shampoo stations, wearing a mask while you get your hair cut. A little unusual. But again, it was good to just be out and to, you know, the person that cuts my hair, I consider him a friend as well as, someone who cuts my hair. It's good to see his business able to be back open. And I know he is happy to be able to get his people working again. But yeah, it's just, it's still a very unusual situation. And to walk through the city and not have there be a lot of people out still is very unusual. I mean, I was down there at 9 o'clock, you know, which should be normally rush hour time, and hardly anybody on the streets, hardly anybody driving. Very unusual.
Well, I do thank you for supporting local business.
Well, I do what I can.
It's the only way these stores are going to survive, because we know our government is not going to take the required actions to make it safe to be outside.
There you go. Anything else additional this week, my friend, or are we ready to hop on over and do a Patreon episode?
We're about to go hit Patreon After Dark or Ron and Brian After Dark. You see the banner below if you're watching this on YouTube or you're watching it on our website, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Become a patron. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click the Patreon logo, the banner that we've got there. Multiple levels to subscribe. You're not making us rich by doing so. What you're doing is you're helping out the podcast get better every week that we are there. It's a family that we have here. And unlike the Trump family, we embrace everyone. And we believe that the more people that are here, the stronger we will all be. Wow. So open up the wallet, go to patreon.com, look up Ron and Brian Podcast. Click the diamond level membership, $1,000 a month. I'll personally suck your dick.
Oh, all right. And on that note, I think we may need to end the podcast and head on over to Patreon. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you again next week.